Always remember that anytime you get ready to throw, you must first have gone through a thorough stretching program. We're going to work with some of our younger players here in terms of the throwing, but even younger players need to go through stretching. You're going to reach a point where your muscles have developed to the degree that if you don't get stretched properly and go through a thorough stretching program, you're going to end up hurting yourself. You're born knowing how to throw with one arm, at least most people, and unless you can trade that in for a better one, you better take care of the one that you have. Now, the good thing about working with young players in terms of proper throwing technique is they don't haven't necessarily learned any good habits or any bad habits. In many cases, they don't really have a habit. If you can get one young enough where you can teach them the proper technique, you can sure help their arm. If you wait till they're 15 or 16 years old, it's too late, really, and one in 100 is going to be able to make a change to noticeably improve what they're doing to be able to play at a higher level. It has to be done 8, 9, 10 years old, and it has to be worked through. So we're going to work with our younger infielders and make sure that they know how to do it right. Okay, we always want to make sure we take a four-seam grip when we grip the ball. Tom, if you would, hold out a little bit. Four seams across the seams, all right, hands together in front of the chest. An infielder takes what we call a short arm circle. A short arm circle involves never dropping his hand below his waist. We don't want to drop it down in here. That's an outfielder or a pitcher. And we don't want to come here with the elbows. That's a catcher. We want to go short arm circle, give him a chance to gain just a little bit of arm velocity, and yet still make a nice rapid throw wherever he needs to go with it. Okay? That's throwing the ball. Receiving the ball. We want to make sure when we receive the ball that we show our partner our box or our window here. Feet are spread, knees bent just a little bit, and we always want to anticipate a poor throw. If the ball moves Tommy to his right, he just slides his feet and stays in front of the ball, okay? If the ball moves him to his left, slides his feet, stays in front of the ball. Above the waist, we're going to use the thumbs coming together to catch it, trap it in. Below the waist, pinkies come together and we trap it in this way. Always using two hands. Take a little pride in the way that you throw. You can actually get something out of this. And I don't care how old the kids are. If they're 8 years old, make them do it right. Because the more you emphasize the right way to do things, the faster it's going to become a habit for any player that you have. Okay, fellas, let's go ahead and get loose. Always anticipate the bad throw. Hands up, catch them with two hands. Notice how they step right to left, left to right. Very nice. That's it. Two hands all the time. They're getting themselves loose. They're not just getting loose here. They're learning how to catch the ball in game situation. Notice how they do it right every time. Very little sense in throwing and not working your technique. You can do both at the same time. The way that you throw and the way that you begin prior to the practice and prior to your game is the tempo that you're going to set for the rest of the day. If you're a coach or a parent, demand, don't ask, demand that they do it right. And if that means you have to go down the line with them to get it done, fine, then go down the line with them. But make sure they're throwing and catching the way it needs to be done. Because I'll tell you something, games generally aren't won by overpowering people. They're lost, and they're lost because you can't pick up a ball, you can't throw the ball, you can't throw a strike. This is where you learn how to win ball games, right here. Three-part throwing drill is a drill that allows us to isolate parts of the throwing technique at a time and put it back together in some meaningful fashion. You'd be surprised how many older players need some help with their technique in throwing. We just want to take advantage of what we have. If we can pick up a couple miles an hour by gripping the ball right, if we can pick up a couple miles an hour by making sure we get a good glove tuck, we want to do that. And by slowing things down, backing up, and doing it one at a time, it allows us to be able to do that. Brian's going to help me here with regard to our techniques. This is our break position. You'll notice that we're into the scarecrow position with the arms. This arm's out and flexed just a little bit. This arm's flexed just a little bit. Fingers are on top of the ball. Glove is turned and facing away. This is going to allow us to isolate and work just strictly on the glove tuck. Which if you watch players, if you go to a Little League diamond, if you go to a high school field and you watch how many give you a glove tuck, bring that glove back into the body, you're going to find less than half do it properly, maybe even less than that depending on where you're at. So this is our chance to teach how to do that. And we do this with high school players. It's great to do with 8, 9, 10 year old kids. This is our break position again. Break, Brian. That's our break. And from here, I'm just going to say throw. When I say throw, Brian's going to bring that glove back to his chest. He's going to get the arm into a 90 degree angle and make the throw to his partner. Ready? Throw. And you'll notice that he gets a nice follow through. He's going to finish up. Okay, feet spread, at least shoulder width apart. Break. Throw. Notice his grip on the ball. Break. His fingers are on top of the ball. He also has a four-seam grip. Throw. Tucks the glove and a nice follow through. Break. Throw. Again, we're just isolating that glove and allowing it to come back into the body. That's an extra 2 to 4 miles per hour if you learn how to do that properly, as opposed to if you don't do it at all. Break. Throw. We also want to make sure that Brian's looking down the gun barrel. He's got that glove pointed directly at his partner, and that's going to increase his accuracy when he does release the ball, not to mention the velocity he's going to pick up with that glove tuck. A part two of the drill will be to take it from the break position and work backwards. We're going to work to what we call a ready position. Hands in front of the chest, hands here. When I say break, we're going to take a small step with our front foot, and we're going to split our hands back into that scarecrow position. Break. Throw. So what we're doing is just inching our way back to a normal throw. Ready? Break. Throw. And a nice follow through. Ready? Break. Throw. The third and final portion of this drill is what we call ready and throw. We're going to put the whole thing back together again without any stops. There'll be no stop in between, no break position on this one. He'll go back through the glove tuck, but he's not going to stop this time. Ready? Throw. Out and back in a nice normal throwing technique. This is a great way to teach young players how to put their throwing technique together one step at a time. Ready? Throw. Out and back. Again, we want the players concentrating on getting that glove facing backwards and making sure they pull back hard to allow their arm to increase the velocity. Ready? Throw. Very nice. Again, step-by-step approach teaching people how to throw the ball properly. And although the technique may differ from position to position, the drill never changes. And we can work regardless of whether you got a catcher throwing the way he throws or an outfielder like Brian throwing the way he throws. We can all do it together and all do it at the same time to help teach that glove tuck, a nice release with the hands to make sure that the technique we hold the ball with is what we need, and to put that whole thing back together step by step. To fielding a ground ball. We do it at high school, we do it at the college level, we do it with little league players, you can do it with whomever you have, but it's important that they understand exactly what they're supposed to do. Part number one, we ask that our infielders, Brent's going to help me, we ask that our infielders get some momentum or some movement. We call this a creep step. For a right-handed infielder, it's nothing more than taking a small step with his right foot, small step left foot, and opening his hand. You ready? Creep. Right, left, open. He's in position right now to run to his left. He can run to his right. He can go backwards. He can go forward at a dead sprint. Doesn't need to stop. Doesn't need to stand up, drop down. He's whatever he needs to go, wherever he needs to go, he's in position to do it. After he gets his creep steps, part number two, we charge the ball. Rarely in a high school setting or below do you have a situation where you don't charge a ground ball. When you get to college and they hit a little bit harder, or if you happen to be a high school third baseman where you're real tight on the play, that's a little bit different, or first base for that matter. But for the most part, you're going to charge the ball. Okay, we're going to add. We're just going to do building block. We're going to go creep, and then we're going to add in a charge. Ready? Creep. Charge. Stop. Okay. All right, back up, Brent. On the charge, we want to come at the ball under control as quickly as we can. We don't want to overrun the ball, because when we get there, we have to set up to field the ground ball. All right, we're going to add in part three. So we got creep and charge so far. Part three is what we call our breakdown position. That's our position in which we're going to begin to field the ball. Okay, ready? Creep, charge, breakdown. On our breakdown, you'll notice that Brent has his feet a little wider than shoulder width. His head's down. We're going to show the top of the hat. His right hand is on top, his glove's on the ground, and it's extended in front of him. Okay, stand up and relax. It's important that we extend the glove in front of us so that we can cradle the ball or cushion it as it comes to us. And we go right hand on top for this simple reason. Those of you that played in the infield recognize this is a problem. When we're playing with little guys, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, the normal reaction to a ground ball coming at you is to do this. We turn the head. Well, the reason we turn heads is because we're afraid we're going to get hit in the face. I think everybody has that fear, at least at some point in their life. I know I sure did. In order to correct that fear or to take care of it, we take the right hand and put it on top this way. If we happen to get a bad hop, we can take the hand and keep that ball away from our face. The second thing that that does is it allows us to trap the ball in the glove. We call that our alligator. Right here, that's our alligator. Bad hop, hand comes up, good hop, alligator. Part four, we're going to go from our breakdown to a fielding position. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, he'll hold it. Now I'm comfortable with his technique, field. He'll bring the ball to his midsection, he'll cradle the ball in, and he's going to show me the top of his cap. Okay, relax. Simple enough. Now we go part five, which is our throw. Okay? And this is exactly how we teach it. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Right to left, left to right. Back up. So the fifth part, we're going to take that right foot and we're going to step inside the left, square our shoulder to our target, shoulder, hip, and knee, and make our good strong throw. I can do this with 15 kids, one player, 10, it doesn't make any difference. I can do it just like this. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Very nice. Let's do it one more time. Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Okay, good enough, Brent. As I tell outfielders or any position on the infield, anytime that you take a step more than you need to in order to get the ball out of your glove or to do whatever it is you have to do, you're giving the base runner two steps. Two steps to a base runner, especially at the high school level, equates to at least 6 feet. And boy, that's something you don't want to do. How many plays do you see at first base that are closer than 6 feet? The first drill we're going to do is what we call chop steps. This is our effort to make sure that the kid's technique, right, left, backward, at an angle, is always good and always what we need. We don't want to take any extra steps because when a ball's hard hit and it's to the right or to the left, we got to get there and get there in a hurry. So Mark's going to head them through the chop steps and I'll comment as they get going. Go ahead, Coach.
Creep. Chop.
Notice how they move their feet and they're into their breakdown good position. The nice backhand.
Creep. Chop.
Now they're going to go to the crossover step, getting the nice breakdown position, making sure that the head down, watching the ball in.
Good.
They come back. You can do this with any number of players that you have, whether it's 4 or 8 or 10 or however Creep. Many you can.
Chop.
Now we got a ball a little deeper in the hole. They're going to take an angle on it.
Good.
Notice how their heads are down, the gloves open. Want to make sure we follow the good technique rules on our backhand.
Creep. Chop. Good.
Good. See how they set up at the same time. Footwork's always the same. Even though we got some different age groups kids, they're still setting up at the same time.
Creep. Chop. Good.
Charge the ball. We run through these five rotations, to the right, to the left, backward angle right, backward angle left, and then forward for the ball that's coming right at us. That's a chop step drill. We start out each practice with it. If it's just a couple minutes a day, boy, it's a good reminder for kids and how they're supposed to move to the ball. that's what we're going to do here. We're just going to take a ground ball and roll it and make sure that our technique is good. And the way that the coach is going to ensure that is he's going to have them to stop when they get into their breakdown position and hold it for 1 second. If there are any problems with it, he can at that point instruct what we need to do different, and then he'll say go. And when he says go, then they'll go ahead and feed the ball back. You can go two lines of this, three lines. We'll go just one line today, but you can set up however many you like depending on how many people you have to help. Okay, coach.
Creep. Stop.
Notice how he stops?
Go.
Shows a button on the cap. Next guy comes up.
Creep. Stop. Go.
When he says go, they're free to release and throw the ball back.
Stop. Go.
They stop themselves in their funnel position.
Stop. Go.
Look at the hands extended out in front. Anytime you bobble the ball can run up the arm and you can trap it in the chest, and at least we have an opportunity to throw somebody out. The hands have to be extended and out in front.
Great. Go.
This is our Texas Leaguer drill. This is a drill that helps us improve our foot quickness in terms of going after balls that are behind us, whether it's to our right, to our left, straight back, doesn't make any difference. Anytime that you can force somebody to move as fast as possible in a drill, it's going to simulate what happens in a game. You get a ball hit down a left field line, down a right field line, where an infielder has to really charge hard to go get it. The important thing here is not to take any wasted steps. If the ball's hit over your right shoulder, you want to drop step to your right side, and as you'll see the guys do it in just a minute. Ball's hit left, you stop, step left. If you end up taking extra steps, it's going to cost you in terms of being able to get to a ball and either catch it or set up and catch it properly. We don't want to have to make it any tougher than absolutely necessary. Coach is going to start us here, and we're going to watch the guys. They'll start out pretty easy.
Mind, mind, mind.
They'll call everything. We call it again, mind, 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 in everything that we do.
Mind, mind, mind.
Tommy took the wrong step one direction. We can make that adjustment. Perfectly all right. You're going to see that happen consistently. That's why we do it.
Mind, mind, mind.
You'll find that if you'll just hesitate long enough to ensure that you go the right direction, you actually get to the ball faster than if you take off running and go the wrong way. Try our best, and our challenge is to go the right direction. Notice how Adam dropped step to the right and went and got it. As they get decent at it, we're going to stretch them out a little bit. Anytime we go to the right side for a right-handed infielder, we want to go backhand.
Mine, mine, mine.
Texas Leaguer drill, push them as hard as you can, make them work, and boy, I tell you what, by making them work, they're going to get the balls that you didn't believe that they could ever get to. If you just cut out the number of steps that are unnecessary, put in only the necessary steps, move as hard as you can on a daily basis in practice, either with your team or individually, boy, we're going to get a lot better on these balls, no question about it. Flip drill by yourself, mom or dad or somebody else comes out and works it with you. We like to work as much game simulation as we possibly can, so I'm going to have Adam drop down into a fielding position and start from there. Here we go.
Flip.
Flip.
That's it. He's calling the flip to me just to remind me that it's coming from that direction. Flip. See, he's starting down just like he's fielding the ground ball. He's going to get it right to me. Flip. He's calling flip every play.
Flip.
That's it. All right, shorten up a little bit. Now we're coming in a little tighter.
Flip.
Flip. You got to hang it up a little higher for your partner. You don't need to knock him over on this.
Flip.
The ball. Backhand flip. Notice how his hand comes up in the chest. He's got to put a little something on it. Boom. So I don't get killed. Be it whether I'm a pitcher, feeling the ball here at first, if that happens, or a middle infielder, or even a third baseman that may have to flip on a squeeze bunt at the plate. Lends itself very nicely to working by yourself. Recruit someone from your family, a teammate, a coach, anybody you can to get this done. These are the little things that separate you from everyone else. You know, ordinary players are a dime a dozen. I can go out to any high school field in the country and find an ordinary player. You need to be that special player, and a special player is a guy that's going to go out and do this on a daily basis. All right, forehand flip. Here we go. Good, didn't have to flip. There you go. Make him work. Good. Brent makes a catch. Good. Nice stop. If I don't push him a little bit, I'm not doing him any favors. He wants to be a better player, and the only way to do that is make him work. Okay, one more forehand. Tough one. That's all right. Backhand. Now we're going backhand. Good. See how quick his hand moved? Tough hop. Good. Ball stayed low to the ground. He still made the play. Brent's done this a time or two. He's pretty good at it. That's it. Good. See, even on a tough hop, he's still able to get to it. Your hands have to move independent of the rest of your body. If you've got to stop and think about where the glove's going to go on a backhand, you're sunk. It's too late. And you can get to the point where you can feel the backhand and forehand short hop like Brent does. We're in pretty good shape. Do is want to find a wall. We just picked the back of the dugout. You can pick a wall at home, a school building, wherever. You're not going to tear anything up, a side of an old barn, whatever you like, and work them off the wall. What we're going to ask Tommy to do is to get about 10 feet away from the wall. I'm going to stand right behind him, and when I throw the ball, I'm going to call ball. Any ball that goes to Tom's right, I want him to backhand. Any ball to his left, he's got to slide his feet and take forehand. We want him to start out low. Go ahead, Tom, get ready. He's starting low with his hands separate. If he doesn't do that, he's not going to be able to field any of these. Here we go. Ready? Ball. If you can get a real bouncy ball, it'll come off that wall in a hurry. Ball. Okay. Backhand on that ball to the right. Backhand. Ready? Ball. Good, good hand. See how he cradled it in? Ball. Good. See how he moved his feet? Hands, ball came right up and he went right up with it. Going to get a little tougher now. Ball. Good. Got a little older player in Adam here. We're going to make him work just a little bit harder. Again, anything to the backhand side, to the right for him, we want to take it. Be light on your feet. Here we go. Ready? Ball. Good. See how he cradled that ball? He smothered it. This is just like a short hop or a tough ground ball. Ball. Stay down. Ready? Ball. You can have a gold glove competition with this. Line up your entire team. If you drop the ball, bobble it, hits the ground, you're out. And go until you got one person left. Ready? Ball. Good. See how he moved his feet? Ball. Good. If he can square it up, great. Ball. If you can field a ball that somebody can throw from behind you as hard as they can, I guarantee you can field the ball in the game. If you can make your hands move faster than they're ever going to be required to in a game, without question, you're going to be as good as you need to be if you'll work at it a little bit. And the nice thing about this drill is it's fun. It's fast-paced. You can make it a competition very easily, either for yourself. I can remember growing up as a little kid, and I had a black spongy rubber ball, and that wall at the front of the house took a beating because I just kept throwing it and throwing it and throwing it. And the closer you get, the faster you move. You can do this by yourself. Adam can take this ball and throw it up on the wall and work himself to the right, to the left, in front of him, whatever you have to do. Make it fun, make it enjoyable, but make it effective.